Praise be to God. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 God is a good God. Hallelujah. We must never question that. Amen. Yes, He tests. Yes, He proves. The Bible says He tries the eyelids of man. Hallelujah. To see whether we will or will not obey, when it's easy and when it's hard. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Baredo sikimano sibirdeas kipere di posta agabarute sikipere di shukumana sitege. Just turn towards Him in your heart now. Right as you sit there, turn towards Him in your heart. Worship Him in your heart. Worship Him in your heart. Worship Him in your heart, in your spirit, for there He dwells. He lives within you. He lives within me. He lives within us. He lives and He walks within us. In the Old Testament, He lived and He walked amongst them. He lived and He walked amongst them. But in the New Testament, the dispensation in which we live, He lives and He walks within us. Oh, what a privilege! Such a privilege! Sabirete sigi peradesha tekei peradeshte. Open in your Bibles, if you would please, to Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. We believe the Word of God. Amen. We trust the Word of God. We don't question the Word of God. We believe the Word of God. Amen. Hallelujah. And the Word of God clearly reveals that He is not the author of sickness. He is not the author of malady, affliction. He is not the author of sickness. Hallelujah. Acts chapter 10 in your Bible, if you're there. I'm going to read it to you in the King James Version. Kingeth, Jameth. Acts chapter 10, verse 38, reads how God anointed. That word means to rub or to smear all over. Amen? He rubbed and smeared all over Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost, we would say Holy Spirit, and with power. Power. Who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. You believe that? The Amplified Bible says in Acts 10:38, how God anointed and consecrated Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with strength, ability, and power. And He went about doing good, and in particular, curing all who were harassed and oppressed by the power of the devil, for God was with him. Amen? The Bible says that God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost in power, and He went about doing good, healing all who are oppressed of the devil. Ralph, what does the Braille Bible say about that? Same thing?
Same thing. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Run your fingers over that and read it back to us, please.
Okay.
Nice and loud so we can hear it on the tape. Scanning, scanning, scanning. Just like a computer. All right, Ralph, we're ready.
Okay. It says, preached how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. For God was with him.
What a coincidence. The Braille Bible is the same as the Bible we read with our eyes. How God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost in power. And he went about not doing bad, but doing good, healing all who were oppressed of the devil. The Bible clearly reveals that all good comes from God, and all oppression and evil comes from the devil. Sickness doesn't come from heaven. It doesn't come from God. There's no sickness up there for God to send down here and slap all over you. Didn't Jesus tell his disciples to pray to God that your will would be done on earth as it is in heaven? There's no sickness in heaven. It never was God's will for there to be sickness, malady, affliction, oppression on the earth. That's Adam's fault. That's Eve's fault. Amen? God told them, do not part. He created them in His image. They were anointed with His glory. Amen? Hallelujah. The only clothing, the only covering they had on was the glory of God. They were literally covered with God's glory. The same glory that radiates from the throne of God today that you can read about in Revelation chapter 4, that same emerald-colored glory that the Apostle John saw emanate, radiate from God as He sits on His throne, covered Adam and Eve. Covered Adam and Eve. He literally shared His glory covering with His precious creation. He put them in the garden as keepers. And He told them, everything you want to do is legal, it's moral, and it's scriptural. There's no such thing as sin for you, as long as you stay away from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. He said, in the day that you partake of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, that is the day that you will die. Now, He wasn't talking about dying physically, because Genesis chapter 5 reveals that Adam didn't die for 930 years after they partook of that tree. He was talking about dying spiritually. In the Bible, spiritual death means to be separated from God. Every person in the world today who is not born again is spiritually dead, and that they're not connected to God. They're spiritually dead, ruled by pride. Amen? Listen, there was no sickness in the garden. There was no sickness in the earth. There was no sickness in the world until Adam and Eve. They never experienced a sick day in their lives. Until they partook of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. They disobeyed God. They ceased to be like Him. The glory covering came off. Their nakedity was exposed. And they went running for something to cover themselves with. I learned that word nakedity from radar on MASH. Hallelujah. That's what he called it, nakedity. Amen? Suddenly, they were naked and they knew it and they experienced shame for the first time. And they ran and they hid from God. Amen? That was the day that sickness came into the earth. It's a curse for disobedience. Amen? It's a curse for disobedience. It's not the will of God. Amen? Healing is the will of God. Always the will of God. If healing is not the will of God, Jesus Christ defied His Father every time He healed a sick person. If sickness is the will of God to teach, then Jesus went against His Father every time He healed the sick. Jesus never violated His Father's will. Jesus said in John 6:38, He said, for I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but to do the will of Him who sent me. The Amplified Bible says to do the will, the plan, and the purpose of Him who sent me. As a matter of fact, Jesus never performed a miracle in His life. You're trying to confuse me, Pastor? Not at all. Jesus said in John 14:10, He said, the Father within me, He doeth the mighty works of power. John 14:10. It was the Father actually healing through Jesus. Let me say it again. John 6:38, Jesus said, "For I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but to do the will of Him who sent me." He said, "The Father within me, He doeth the mighty," the Amplified Bible, I believe, says, "mighty outworkings and explosive works of power." Something like that. Amen? John 14:10, He said, "The Father within me, He does it. He does it." If it was the Father healing through Jesus, every time Jesus healed the sick, then it must have been His Father's will to heal. What does the Amplified say? Am I in the wrong?
Is it 14:10?
I think it's 14:10.
"Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me?"
Hallelujah. 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 That's all right. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It is different. He said, "What I'm telling you, I do not say in my own authority or of my own accord. But the Father who lives in me continually does the works, His own miracles, His own deeds of power." End of story. Hallelujah. It's the same power of Acts chapter 10 verse. As a matter of fact, that verse in Acts 10:38 and John 14:10, the word power is actually dunamis. It means mighty explosive force, and it's the word that we get our English word dynamite from.
Hallelujah.
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 Jesus said, "The Father within me, He doeth the works." Amen? James, the half-brother, the little half-brother of Jesus, said, now he grew up in the same bedroom as Jesus. They fought over who's sleeping on the top bunk and who's sleeping on the bottom. They were brothers in the natural. They were real brothers. They didn't share the same daddy, but they shared the same mommy, and they were raised by the same stepfather. Amen? Jesus' stepfather, Joseph, was James' real daddy. Amen? And he learned something from his big brother Jesus growing up. And it was this, that every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there's no variableness, the word is actually fickleness, no shadow of turning. They used sundials in that day to tell time. And when James made reference to God not being a God of shadow of turning, he was saying He doesn't change like the sundial every 15 seconds. He's the same all the time. That's why the Bible says Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. It was God's will to heal when Jesus walked on the earth. It's God's will to heal today. You believe that, Ralph?
I believe that.
I know you do. You tell me all the time. Amen? Ralph's dream is to jump up into the seat of a fire truck and drive that baby down the road. And he'll be doing it. Because he believes, the Bible says, all things are possible if only you believe. It's a small thing. You know the testimony of our friend who's in heaven now, Pastor Reverend Ronald Coyne. He had no eyeball. No eyeball in his left eye. And he could see through that empty eye socket. For 43 years, he demonstrated that miracle. 43 years, he led millions of people to Jesus by demonstrating that miracle. He became a personal friend of mine. Demonstrated that miracle for us in our church on two occasions. We watched it happen. Amen? All things are possible if only we'll get about the business of believing and not doubting. Amen? Every good and perfect gift, James, the brother of Jesus, wrote in his epistle. Every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there's no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Amen? If it's good, it's God. If it's bad, it's the devil. Sickness is bad, it's not from God. Jesus went about doing good, healing all who were oppressed of the devil. All oppression is always of the devil. Always, 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 always.
Amen.
Do I make myself clear?
Amen.
Oppression is always of the devil. whether it's sickness, poverty, confusion, frustration, fear, failure, it doesn't come from God. He's a good God. And only good and perfect things come down from our good God, our Father of lights, the God of all comfort and the Father of mercies. That's what the Bible calls Him. Amen? Hallelujah. I want to get one of those punch bags that I used to have when I was a kid. It was Bozo. And you could punch him. And it'd fall down, stand back up, and you could punch him all day. I love punching Bozo. And I want to put on one of those punching bags like Bozo, the Bozo lie that God is wrath, so I can punch it all day, and it come back, and I can punch it again. Sounds rather violent. That's a violent lie. Amen? The Bible says the kingdom of God suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. That is a lie that God is a God of wrath. He is love. The Bible says, he who loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. He not only has love for us, He is love. Hallelujah. We could close on that. But we won't. Hallelujah. God is good. Amen. Sickness was never in the earth until Adam and Eve sinned. As a matter of fact, God personally spoke to the devil, the serpent. Now, Satan wasn't actually a serpent. Let me say this to you. The serpent was the head of all beasts in the earth at one time. You'll find that in Genesis chapter 3. And he used to walk upright. He started crawling on his belly as a curse for allowing himself to be used as a tool of Satan. Satan is not a serpent. He's a fallen angel. And he looks just almost human in shape like angels do. He's not a serpent. The serpent in Genesis chapter 3 was used as a tool of Satan to seduce Adam and Eve. But Adam's not a serpent. I'm sorry, Satan's not a serpent. Amen? The serpent used to be the highest of all God's animal creation. Now he's the lowest. Now he crawls on his belly and he eats the dust of the earth. The word dust of the earth, that word dust is actually rubbish. He eats trash. And rightfully so. For listening to Satan, allowing himself to be used as a tool of Satan to deceive God's precious creation and cause them to fall. That serpent used to walk upright and could actually think and talk and had a mind, will, intellect, and emotions. If you meditate and spend some time in Genesis chapter 3, you'll see that that's true. And the Lord came, he said to the serpent, the tool of the devil, because thou hast done this, cause my man to fall. Cause the curse to come on my man. See, God said Satan and the serpent did it, not God. God didn't bring the curse of sickness into the earth, in disease and poverty. Man allowed it to come into the earth. God gave man authority over all of his creation. God gave man authority over all the earth. The devil came and stole it away. Let me just read to you in Genesis 3:14. The Lord God said to the serpent, because thou hast done this, not God, thou, the serpent did this, thou art cursed above all cattle. See, he was above all of the animal creation. Now he's the cursed above all of the animal creation. And above every beast of the field, and upon thy belly thou shalt go. He used to walk upright. Bet you didn't know that. Hallelujah. Now you do. Hallelujah. And dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. He came under a curse for placing God's man under a curse. Amen? Now what was God to do? God gave authority of this earth to his human creation. He gave it to a man. A man gave it away. It wasn't God's to come and take back. That would make God a thief. He gave it to the man. The man gave it away. A man gave it away. God couldn't take it back. A man gave it away. Only a man could come and take it back. Enter Jesus. Amen? The Lord of creation. He made him who knew no sin to be made sin on our behalf, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Jesus came and took our authority back from Satan in the serpent. Amen. Went and spent 3 days in downtown eternity paying the penalty for our sins. Came back into the earth once the penalty for sin was paid for. You know all this. I'm just stirring up your pure minds by way of remembrance. And then he delegated his authority. Oh, God gave it to man. A man gave it away. Only a man could take it back. A man came and took it back. And now he's given that power, that delegated power of attorney, back to you, back to me, when he said, all power in heaven and earth is given unto me. Now you go and tell the world all about it. All about what? All about man's restored authority. Jesus said in Luke chapter 10, when the 70 disciples, they returned to him. He had sent out the 35 pairs of two, 70 disciples. He told them, go out and heal the sick. Cast out unclean spirits. Raise the dead. Preach the kingdom of the gospel. They went out for the first time without him, and they found this stuff really works. And the Bible says in Luke chapter 10, verse 17, and the 70 returned with joy, saying to Jesus, behold, even the demons are subject to us in thy name. And Jesus said, oh yeah, I was right there and I watched Satan fall from heaven like lightning. Now behold, I give unto you all power and all authority, and nothing shall by any means harm you unless you permit it. Amen. Nevertheless, don't rejoice that demons are subject to you. Rejoice because of what I did. Your names are written in heaven. But he did still say, nonetheless, demons are subject to you. Sickness doesn't come from God. Sickness comes from Satan. He's the head of all demons, and we have authority over him. Just let it sink in for a minute. Hallelujah. Just let it breathe. Just let it breathe. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Most people don't understand that God gave Adam and Eve. But most Christians don't understand. The majority of Christians that I talk to, present company accepted, they don't understand that Adam and Eve allowed sickness to come into the earth. They believe that God uses sickness and disease to teach. And I tell them all the time, everywhere I go, when they try to tell me that, I tell them that means if God's using sickness to teach, if God's the author of sickness, and he sends it into the earth to teach his human creation, that means that his precious son defied him every time he healed the sick. Not only did Jesus not defy his father when he healed the sick, he taught us that the father within him actually did the healing through him. God's a good God. How God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power. He went about doing nothing but good, baby. Healing all who were oppressed of the devil. All oppression is of the devil. Amen. Jesus ran him out of town every time he encountered him. Amen. I tell you all the time, and I'm going to say it to you again today. John chapter 10 is the greatest revelation in all of Scripture. John chapter 10, verse 10, is a revelation the people in the Old Testament didn't have, so they weren't accountable for it. But it's a revelation that we in the New Testament have. We are accountable for it. It's the greatest revelation in all of Scripture because it's where Jesus clearly revealed who is the source of evil and who is the source of good when he said, the thief cometh not, but for to steal, to kill and to destroy. But I have come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. I am speaking to you today by the Spirit of the one who created me. God doesn't want you to be sick. He doesn't want you to suffer with any kind of disease. He doesn't want you to suffer with disease. He wants you to live with ease, not dis-ease. You see that? Hallelujah. Yes, glory to God. Hallelujah. Go over there in your Bible, if you would, real quick. Look at a verse of Scripture with me. Matthew chapter 8. Amen. It was God who did all those miracles and deeds of power through Jesus. Amen. That means If we really want to see what God is like, we have to look at Jesus. If we really want to hear what God sounds like, we have to listen to Jesus. Amen? Because Jesus said, it's the Father within me that's doing all these things that are blowing you away. It's the Father, he said. It's not me. Amen? Are you there in Matthew chapter 8? Hallelujah. We're going to just quickly go through and look at some miracles and deeds of power that occurred in the ministry of Jesus so that we can see how God himself feels about sickness, torment, and demonic harassment, and every other kind of human tragedy. It is not God's will. God does not use tragedy to teach people or to correct people. He warns people that tragedy is coming so they can avoid it. He is not that white-robed, moody, puritanical monster of religion who hangs over the balcony of heaven just waiting for one of them to make one mistake. That's not God. That's religion. That's man's idea of God. Man's idea of God. Amen? That's fallen man's idea of God. Man in his sin is afraid of God. Doesn't need to be afraid of God. Whatever the Bible says to fear God, that word fear is to have an awesome respect. God doesn't want us to be afraid of him. He just wants us to respect him and to respect his word and respect his ministers and respect one another in love. Amen? Look right here at Matthew chapter 8, verse 1. When Jesus was come down from the mountain, anybody know what he was doing up there? I can't hear you.
Praying.
I'm sorry, I can't hear you.
Praying.
That was a good chance for me to take a drink and make it look like it was your fault. When Jesus came down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, there came a leper, the worst disease of the day, and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou can make me clean. If it's your will, I know you can. I'm just not sure it's your will. Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, or it is my will. Those are the two strongest words you can put together in any language. I will. Amen? He said, it is my will. It is my will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed or cleaned. Amen? Now, this is the only time in all of Scripture. Now, I don't say this boastfully. I've read the whole Bible, many parts of it, many times over. I've never found anywhere else in all of Scripture, never, in the whole Bible, where anybody prayed, if it be thy will, when it came to healing, except right here. This is it. This is it. It's in another gospel, the same account, but it's the same account. It's the only time in all of Scripture that anybody prayed concerning healing, if it be thy will. And do you see what Jesus did? He corrected the man for praying that way. In essence, he said, you don't have to pray that way when it comes to healing. It is my will. That's what I'm all about. That's what I came to do. I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but to do the will of him who sent me. It's his will, therefore it's my will. Be cleaned, be cleansed, be healed. That's a revelation. That's the only time in all of Scripture that anybody prayed, if it be thy will. And Jesus actually corrected that man for praying that way. We should never pray for divine healing. Father, if it be thy will, I know you can heal me. It is his will. It is his will. It is his will. Who his own self, 1 Peter 2:24, who his own self bore your sins in his body on the cross, that you, being dead to sin, might live unto righteousness, by his stripes you are healed. You're not the sick trying to get healed. You're the healed, and the devil's trying to ruin you, spirit, soul, and body. He's trying to kill and steal and destroy through sickness and poverty and hallelujah. It is my will. I don't know what your affliction might be, but I know God wants to heal it. Amen. Well, I never pray to God. I know you can. I just don't know if you will. I pray. I know you can. I know you will. Amen.
And
hallelujah. Well, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Did you hear what the man said? My physical eyesight is coming. Whether it, Ralph's believing, whether it takes the working of miracles, a recreative miracle for his eyes to be replaced with new eyes, brand new eyeballs to be created, whatever it takes, or to see without eyeballs. Ronald Coyne, for 43 years, saw through an empty, I believe it was a left eye socket, with no eyeball in there. He popped it out, put it on my pulpit. I took a handkerchief and folded it 8 times, put it over his right existing eye, used a half a roll of adhesive tape, crisscrossed it, got it on his face so tight it made him angry. And then everybody in the congregation came, and he read all of their personal identification, newspapers, magazines, birth certificates, driver's licenses, whatever, through an empty eye socket. How did, somebody said, Pastor John, how in the world could he see with no eyeball? He saw through his spiritual eyeball. Every bodily component, every physical component has a bodily equivalent. That's why when we die, I hate that word. When we leave our bodies, we lay these physical bodies down. The Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Your spirit body, which looks identical to your physical body, goes to heaven. If Barbara were to go to heaven before me, and I went up 5 minutes later, I'd know her and she'd know me. She knows me now, she'll know me then. We look identical. We are spirits created in the image and in the likeness of God. Amen? We're spirits, we're not bodies. We look the way we do because our skin is stretched over our spirits. Tightly. Some more tightly than others. Hallelujah. Talking about myself. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But Ronald Coyne, hallelujah, could see with his spiritual eyeball. It's of a higher materiality. Whether God replaces Ralph's eyeballs or not, he could still see through his spirit eyes. Ralph's believing. Ralph's believing. He's not afraid to believe. We need to not be afraid to believe. We need a miracle like that around here. We need that testimony.
Hallelujah.
God needs that testimony.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. The fire truck's coming. I can hear it. Amen. Hallelujah. Ralph loves fire trucks. He's determined he's going to drive one. Amen. Hallelujah. Listen, Jesus didn't tell that leper when he said, Jesus, I know you can heal me. I just don't know. If you will, Jesus didn't say, well, now, son, God moves in mysterious ways as wonders to behold. Is that what your Bible says? That's not even in the Braille Bible, Ralph, is it? He didn't say God's ways are past finding out and he may have put that leprosy on you to teach you something. So just be patient. Just be patient. Let God's will be done. You never can know what his will might be. Bless his holy name. Jesus said, I will. It is his will. It is his will. It's always his will. Jesus never talked that way. That's how religious people talk who don't know God, and they're trying to disguise the fact that they don't know God. They want us to think they do know God. When they don't know God, because they don't know his word, you can't know God apart from his word. Can't relate to God apart from his word. John 1:14 says Jesus is the word. He's the word incarnate. Amen. Psalm 138, verse 2. God said, I have magnified my word even above my name. You can't know God if you don't know his word. The word says, it's always God's will to heal. The word says, Jesus went about doing good, healing all who were oppressed of the devil. The word says, oppression comes from the devil, goodness comes from God. Amen. We getting our thinking adjusted here a little today? You know most of this. Amen. But Peter said, Beloved, I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, and the Lord put it in my heart to come down here and to make it clear again that it's always, always, always His will to be for you to be healed. Don't get caught in the trap. Well, it hasn't happened for 41 years. He must be trying to tell me something. Yeah! Get in the Word and develop some faith for healing. Go read some healing scriptures over and over and over again. Amen? You do a little thing and build faith and release it through the words of your mouth, and God will do a big thing, and He will effect miracle healing in your body. One verse will do it. One verse will do it. Find yourself one verse of Scripture and embed that thing into you. One verse of healing Scripture. Amen? Barbara goes through healing Scriptures almost every day. Believe she got a little booklet of healing Scriptures. Amen? You can do that too if you're so inclined. But you can get the job done too with one verse of Scripture. If you live it, breathe it, eat it, sleep it. Amen? Hallelujah. Go to Luke chapter 13. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you've done something foolish that's opened the door to sickness, just repent. Silly. God's not mad at you. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 28, verse 13, that if we cover our sins, we will not prosper. But if we will confess them, we will find mercy. I cannot possibly tell you how many times in the New Testament someone cried out to Jesus and said, Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me! And He healed them. They asked for mercy and they got healing. If you've got some unconfessed sin in your life, something you've been hanging on to because you haven't dared go to God with it, let me just tell you, when you finally confess it, when you finally go to Him and tell Him what you did, it's not the first He's heard of it. He's not going to say, What? He's going to say, I know. I've been waiting for you. Be healed. Amen? If you hide your sins, you won't prosper. If you confess them, you will receive mercy. Where did I ask you to go in the Bible? Luke chapter 13? Hallelujah. What are we talking about today? Healing. Healing. Hallelujah. It's always God's will to heal. Jesus said, I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but to do the will of Him who sent me. Amen. Listen, God will heal you no matter what you've done wrong. 1 John 1:9. You know it. Amen. You all been saved long enough. You know 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to slap us around a little bit. Is that what it says?
No.
He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. And then to cleanse us from all unrighteousness as soon as He recovers from the shock of what we just told Him. It's not what it says, is it? It says He's faithful and just. How long? Everybody in snapping position, please. How long does it take to get right with God? Snap of a finger. Father, I missed it. And I did it right up here today. Before you all came here, I spoke sharply to Barbara and I was wrong. I asked her to forgive me and I asked God to forgive me. No, Pastor. Yes, people. Amen? Hallelujah. And Barbara did, of course, without question. Hallelujah. She doesn't want to have to do her own chores this week. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. She knows how to control her, man. Hallelujah. Luke 13, come on now. Verse 11, are you there? Barbara doesn't try to control me. I want you to know that. Amen? And I don't try to control her anymore. I find that it doesn't work. I never did I? Amen. We believe God to tell us both the same thing. When we have decisions to make, we both wait till we're hearing the same thing. If we're hearing two different things, we just hold off until we find out which one's wrong. And usually, yeah, we won't say. Thank you, Bob. Don't want you to sit there and humiliate yourself. Luke 13. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. By telling them it's me. That's what I meant by telling them it's me. Luke 13, verse 11, we're talking about divine healing, not Barbara and John at home. Behold, there was a woman. Are you there? Ralph, you there? Behold, there was a woman who had a spirit. Please say spirit. What could be more clear? It's a spirit. It's an evil spirit of infirmity. It's not God. It's the devil. Sickness. The devil. A spirit of infirmity for 18 years and was bowed together and could in no wise lift herself up. She was bowed over at the waist and she couldn't stand up straight. When Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said unto her, Woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. He didn't even check her rap sheet. No background check. Didn't even bother going to the internet. Didn't even ask her name. He saw she was oppressed. He knew all oppression is of the devil. He immediately set her free. She didn't even have to ask for forgiveness. James said, when you pray for healing, you automatically get forgiveness. James chapter 5. And when you pray for forgiveness, you automatically qualify for healing. Jesus said, I can't do one without the other. Remember the man who was born of four? I know we're still here in Luke chapter 13. Remember, Jesus told the guy to get up off that pallet and take that pallet and go home. And the Pharisees went absolutely nuts. He said, your sins are forgiven. Rise up and walk home. And the Pharisees went absolutely berserk over that because he said, I forgive you. Your sins are forgiven. Didn't tell him he was healed. He said, you're forgiven. Because he can't forgive you without healing you if you'll receive it. And he can't heal you without forgiving you. And the Pharisees went crazy and said, who are you to say you can forgive sin? Only God can forgive sin. And he said, all right, we'll do it your way. You're healed. And the guy rose up healed and forgiven. It's all the same to God. It's all the same to Jesus. Amen. Back then, I've told you this in the past, back then, they used to go crazy when Jesus would forgive people of their sins. They didn't have a problem with healing. Heal anybody you want, Jesus, but don't tell them you have the power to forgive. Today, we receive forgiveness freely. But don't give me that healing baloney. It's the complete opposite of what they did back then. They're both wrong. They're both wrong. He cannot heal you without forgiving you, and he can't forgive you without healing you, if you want to receive it. That's a wonderful thing. That's a wonderful, amazing Bible fact. You find it in James chapter 5, 14 and 15. Okay, he laid his hands on her. Why? Through the laws of contact and transmission, God's power can be transferred from one living human being to another. He put his hands on her, transmitting power, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. She stood up for the first time. She stood up straight for 18 years. It's the opposite of what happened to the serpent. Amen? He got put down. She got raised up. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation because that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day. And he said to the people, there's 6 days in which men ought to work. In them therefore come and be healed. And not on the Sabbath day. The Lord then answered him and said, you hypocrite, does not each one of you on the Sabbath loose your ox or your ass from the stall and lead him away to water? So ought not this woman, being a daughter of who?
Abraham.
Oh, Lord Jesus. Oh, Christ hath redeemed you from the curse of the law. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangeth on a tree, talking about Jesus going to Calvary for you, that the blessings of Abraham might come upon you in abundance. This woman was the daughter of Abraham. She qualified for everything God promised Abraham. He didn't want to know anything about her. He knew enough. This is the work of the devil. This is my creation. The devil has no authority over my creation. Let her go. That's how God feels about your sickness. That's how He feels about your sickness. You need to know that. Ought not this woman, being the daughter of Abraham, whom Satan hath bound, not God, lo, these 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day? And when the people said these things, all his adversaries, when he had said these things, all of his adversaries were ashamed. And they should have been. They cared more about donkeys and oxen than they did about people. Make sure that their donkey gets water on the Sabbath, but nobody gets healed on the Sabbath. That's religion. That's stinking thinking. That's not the Spirit of God. It's not love. Amen. And all the people rejoiced for the glorious things that were done by him. So it's just not possible for me to accept the teaching that sickness comes from God. As I follow the ministry of Jesus through the New Testament, I'm impressed to ask you to go to Matthew chapter 9 right now. Let's do this. You go backwards there. You're in Luke. Hallelujah. If you can get there real quick, fine. If you can, I'll read them to you. They're on the recording. They'll be on the CD. Amen. Matthew is at the beginning of the Gospels. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Hold the horse till I get on. That'll help you remember them in order. Amen. We're following the ministry of Jesus through the New Testament, just briefly today, to see how God feels about sickness and disease and oppression amongst His human creation. Amen? Verse 35, are you there in Matthew chapter 9? Verse 35, Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom. See, we're teaching and preaching here. Faith comes by hearing. Teaching and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, in healing every sickness, in every disease amongst the people. Do you see that? Every sickness, every disease amongst the people. Please go over to Matthew chapter 14. Excuse me. Matthew chapter 14. Hallelujah. Let me know when you're there. Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 14. Hallelujah. I'll let you know when I'm there. I'll say, give you a hearty amen. Amen? No, that wasn't the amen. I'll give you a hearty amen when I'm ready. Matthew chapter 14. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Let's go down to verse 34. Say amen when you're there. I'm there. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And when they were gone over across the sea, they came into the land of Gennesaret. And when the men of that place had knowledge of him, they heard he had arrived, they sent out into all that country round about and brought unto him all. You know what that word all means? In the original language? All. Amen? Anybody who was sick got dragged out there that day. Amen? Dragged, carried, whatever. All that were diseased, suffering from dis-ease, and besought him that they might only touch the hem of his garment, and as many as touched were made perfectly whole. You see that? We're following the ministry of Jesus in the New Testament this morning to see how God feels about sickness. Jesus said, I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but to do the will of him who sent me. Let's look at another one in Matthew chapter 15 because we're here. Amen? Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 15. Let's do this. Hallelujah. We'll pick it up. Hallelujah. Verse 29. And Jesus departed, say amen if you're there. Jesus departed from thence, and came nigh unto the Sea of Galilee, and went up into a mountain. What was he doing up there?
Pray.
What was he doing up there?
Pray.
He went up into a mountain and sat down there. And great multitudes came unto him, having with them You know he had to go to the mountaintop to escape these crowds? He had to. He couldn't have privacy anywhere once people found out what the will of God was. He had to go to the mountaintop to get a break. It gets to the point where they began following him right up the mountain for their healing. And great multitudes came unto him up in the mountain, having with them those that were lame, blind, dumb, maimed, and many others, and cast them down at Jesus' feet, and he healed them. Insomuch that the multitude wondered when they saw the dumb to speak. You don't see people speak. It means witnessed. They witnessed the dumb speaking. The maimed to behold, the lame to walk, the blind to see, and they glorified the God of Israel. That's the whole point of healing, that God might be glorified. Amen? Listen, I don't know about you, but it's just not possible for me to follow Jesus through the New Testament and believe the religious lie that it's not always God's will to heal. How God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost in power, he went about doing good, healing all who were sick, oppressed of the devil. John 10:10, the thief cometh not but for to kill, to steal, and to destroy. That's what sickness is. It's killing, stealing, and destroying your body. But Jesus said, I have come that you might have it, have life and have it more abundantly. Jesus also said in John 6:38, I'm quoting them back to you again on purpose. Faith comes by hearing. Amen. The Lord put it on my heart. Go down there and reestablish the fact that it's always my will to heal. Until you are established in the fact that it's always His will to heal, you are not going to stand for your healing the way you're going to have to stand for your healing if you're going to receive your healing. You need to know what you're thinking. It is God's will to drive this out of my body. And I'm not saying He won't use, we're not a cult. I'm not saying He won't use natural means either. Amen? We believe in doctors, medicine, and medication. Amen? While you're building your faith for supernatural healing. Amen? You should still meditate on healing scriptures. Even if you're seeing a doctor, if you're under a doctor's care, stay there. Don't get off your medication until the doctor tells you. Meditate on healing scripture. The doctor will see that you no longer have the need for that medication. He'll tell you to get off the medication. Now, the Holy Ghost might tell you to get off medication, but I am not telling you to get off medication. You aren't going to see my face on the Yahoo homepage going to jail because I wouldn't let my people go to the doctor. That's between you and God. James said in James 1:17, every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights. Doctors and nurses and medical technology and medication, they're good. That means they're from God. They are not of the devil. Amen? We're not raising tithes and offerings to buy a cult compound in Texas. Amen? Hallelujah. We're taking up tithes and offerings. We're building a work here on Cape Cod to tell the good news of Jesus Christ. That it's always God's will to heal. Amen? And whatever it takes to get you healed, that's okay with God. He just wants you healed. But doctors and medication are no excuse to be a lazy believer, to be one of God's lazy children, and not develop faith for healing. Well, I'm preaching the message of faith today. Amen? It's always God's will to heal. Say always.
Always.
Say always.
Always.
Say always.
Always.
Say always.
Always.
Give me an A.
A.
Give me an L.
L.
Give me a W.
W.
Give me an A.
A.
Give me a Z.
Yes.
No, give me a Y. Give me a Y.
Y.
Give me an S.
S.
It's always God's will to heal. Always. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Who typed this outline? Hallelujah. Did you? Hallelujah. That's just a little humor. Amen. Listen, Jesus told that leper. He said, it is my will. And in essence, as we saw this morning, let's just stand up this morning. Amen. As we saw this morning, he said, it is my will. In essence, he told that man, don't pray that way when it comes to healing. It is my will. Amen. He saw the woman who was bowed over for 18 years. He didn't even ask her what her name was. He just said, "Woman, be loosed." And when the crybaby religious deadbeats complained about it, he said, "Art not this woman whom Satan hath bound, lo, these 18 years, this daughter of Abraham, be free on the Sabbath?" Listen, I am not saying if you're dealing with sickness or affliction in your body that you've got a demon. That's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying you're demon oppressed. Amen? All sickness isn't demons. We're not looking for demons under every rock. Amen? Are you still with me this morning? Hallelujah. But some sickness is demons. Amen? In this lady's case in Luke chapter 13, it was a spirit of infirmity. It was a spirit of infirmity. Sometimes when Jesus healed the sick, he cast out spirits out of their body and they were instantly healed. He didn't even pray for their healing. Matthew chapter 8, verse 16 and 17 says, "When the evening time was come, they brought unto him many who were sick and those who were oppressed of demons. And he cast out the spirits with his word, and he healed those who were sick, in order that it might be fulfilled that which was spoken by the prophet Isaiah himself, who said, Jesus took our infirmities, and he bore our sicknesses." Sometimes he cast out spirits, and the people were healed. Other times he prayed for healing. Sometimes sickness is a demon spirit. And if it is, it's nothing to be ashamed of. It's something to get rid of. Amen? It doesn't even mean you're in sin somewhere. Maybe in ignorance, you just opened the door to it. Amen? Say this with me. Satan! Go from my body. In Jesus' strong name. That's all it takes. Amen? Say, sickness! Go from my body. In Jesus' strong name. That's how you take authority. Now you know, and I've asked you to stand because we're closing, amen? You know you can demand sickness to leave. You know you can ask the Father in Jesus' name to cause it to leave. You know you can agree with another believer, the prayer of agreement for healing to come. You know you can be anointed with oil. You know you can have hands laid on you. You know you can have elders pray for you. You know that the gifts of the Spirit could go into operation. You be instantly healed. You know that you can pray for someone else who's sick and you receive your healing. Those are eight different ways healing comes. What could be more clear? That all oppression is of the devil and all healing and goodness is of God. Amen? If you didn't get it today, you ain't ever going to get it. You need another dip. Hallelujah. We'll come back and we'll re-dip you some other time. You're getting it, amen? I know you believe all this. I didn't tell anybody in this room anything that they don't already know today. The Lord put it on my heart. Stir up their pure minds by way of remembrance. Reestablish them in the fact that it's always my will to heal. Until we are established in the fact that it's always His will to heal, we're not going to grab onto it and not let go of it. He wants you to grab onto it and to know it's His will. Mark chapter 16 says, "We will lay hands on the sick and they will recover." That's the last thing Jesus said when He left this earth. I can just see Jesus. Let me see. I'm leaving tomorrow. I'm not going to be back for quite some time now. Probably another 2,000 years. What can I tell them before I go? What can I tell them before I go? Let me see. Let me see. Maybe I should tell Peter that he needs to not. No. I know. I know what I'll do. I'll reinforce the fact that in my name, you can cast out unclean spirits. In my name, you can lay hands on the sick and you will go into the recovery process. These are the last things He chose to say just prior to His disciples watching Him go up in the clouds. Lay hands on the sick and expect them to go into the recovery process. Just because we're not healed instantly when we pray doesn't mean we're not getting it. Amen? Sometimes we're healed instantly through the gifts of the Spirit. You know that. You sat through the entire Gifts of the Spirit series. All nine gifts of the Spirit, you're acquainted with them. You know that the gifts of the Spirit don't normally operate in the body of Christ. They do occasionally, but they're normally for people in the world to shock them into believing in Jesus. And once we come into the body, normally the way we get healed is through the recovery process. Meditate on the Word of God. Have somebody agree with us in prayer in Jesus' strong name, and then expect things to get better. Recovery speaks of progression. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But then sometimes something like a recreative miracle could occur, and eyeballs can literally be replaced. Other times, the gifts of healing, the working of miracles can go into operation, and somebody begin to see who has no eyeballs. Amen?
Amen?
Hallelujah. God made you. He can fix you. He can rebuild you. Amen? Lift our hands and let's just worship Him. Father, I release my faith for healing for those who have need of healing in their body today. I'm going to walk over here. Ralph just had surgery on his back. If everybody would point your hand right toward Ralph, release your faith in agreement on his behalf in Jesus' name. Father, this area, this surgical site, we command it to heal quickly now. No more bleeding. No more drainage. We release the anointing and the healing virtue of Jesus into his body. And while we're here, we say no more cancer. We say no more growths. No more sickness. No more attacking the call of God on this man's life by attacking his body, you lying devil. In the name of Jesus, cease and desist every maneuver against this man. And now, Ralph, I'm going to take opportunity to just put my hand over your face. Can I do that? And, Father, we know it is your will to restore Ralph's sight.
Yes,
and we say in Jesus' name, so be it. In Jesus' name. Yes, you did. You spoke to Maurice and you said you would do it, Father. You spoke to Ralph and told him, it is your will.
Yes.
We bind the rulers of the darkness of this present evil world. We bind every demonic principality and power assigned against this man of God. We command you to back off and for all oppression to stop in his life in Jesus' name. We ask you, Father God, open his eyes, Father, in the way that you see best, Father. Whether it's a recreative miracle, the gifts of healings, the working of miracles, the recovery process. Father, we want you to know as a body, we are all in agreement. We're not hoping. We're not wondering. We're believing and we're knowing it is your will. And we say it's a done deal. In Jesus' strong name. Let's just lift our hands and worship God. Thank God for it. Ralph will continue to meditate on God's Word as he's been doing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Building his faith. And we'll continue to thank you for it. If you have need of healing in your body, in this room, if you need a restorative, however you would say it, miracle, something to be closed up, receive it in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. Something to be opened up, receive it in Jesus' name. Something to be loosened up or tightened up in the name of Jesus. Growths be gone in Jesus' name. Infections and a rash. You know where it is. It's in the private area. You be healed. You just receive it. Hallelujah. That's the Spirit of God, see? That's the Spirit of the Lord. Hallelujah. You know where it is. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I know where it is too. Hallelujah. Sickness and disease, you go from these people. Affliction, weariness, go in the name of the Lord Jesus. Physical strength, be restored in Jesus' name. Father, in Jesus' name, quicken their mortal bodies by the same Spirit that you used to raise Christ Jesus from the dead. Increase their energy level, Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Give them physical strength, God, in Jesus' name. Physical, just receive that. If you can receive it, hallelujah, you'll stop being so tired all the time and you'll sleep better at night. Father, you promised to give your beloved sleep. We say, so be it. They will lay down upon their beds and they will sleep the sleep of peace and the sleep of recovery. They will wake up refreshed and ready to go again for Jesus. Amen? Hallelujah. Be healed wherever you have need of healing in your body, in Jesus' name. Glory. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. 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 Just keep worshiping God. Worship God as we close. Just as we're singing. Wherever you have need of healing in your body,